Good to be with you this morning. I know things are a little different this week, and hopefully soon we'll get back to a little normal way of living, and we put some of this behind us. But this morning, I'd like to talk to you about our responsibility as Christians. We think about, and hopefully all of us know, we're saved by grace. Scott's been giving us excellent lessons through Ephesians. We know it's a free gift of God. We're saved not because of the great works we do, but by the grace of God. But that still means we still have responsibilities. There's still one writer, there's still some oughts we ought to do. Paul uses the phrase, as Willie just mentioned, we need to live lives worthy of the calling that we've received. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about our responsibilities, and even our responsibilities with money. Maybe we don't always think about it. We always think about our spiritual ideas, and we kind of like to put our money in a separate category, and you know that we don't touch that with our spiritual things. But Jesus, in these verses, is going to bring those two together. In fact, it might surprise you to know, if you go through and look at the parables of Jesus and things he taught, he spoke more about money than any other single subject. And that sometimes we don't think about it that way. We like talk about prayer. We like think about faith. But do we think about our money and how our money affects our spiritual being in the Lord? And that's what we look at. Money has been given as the number one cause of divorce in our nation. And usually it's because of the stress that's associated with money. And it causes stress in our lives if we allow it to. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about the deceitfulness of wealth and how it deceives us. Paul says that some, because of the going after wealth, have wandered from the faith. Money affects us. And the idea of the things of this world and seeking those things affects our spiritual being before the Lord. So we need to take a look at those kind of things. You look at the Ten Commandments, the first four of the Ten Commandments have to do with our relationship to God. The next five are our relationship with each other. The last one is our relationship with ourselves. It says, do not covet. The word covet means don't desire that which is not yours. Don't be greedy. Don't envy somebody what they have. Don't desire something that doesn't belong to you. And sometimes we do that. We look at what other people have and say, you know, I'd like to have that. We need to think about, how do we look upon money and how do we use it in our lives? This morning we're going to take a look at a parable. This comes from Luke chapter 16. And it's a little different kind of parable. If you go through it, there's two things in this parable that seem not to fit. And I want you to look through it as we read through this parable and look at what doesn't really fit in the parable. He also said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager in charge and brought to him this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Turn in your account of your manager. You can no longer be my manager. In other words, you're fired, is what he's saying to him in just plain old good old English. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do? My master has taken the management away from me. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I'm removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. Now, if you just look at this, what's your opinion of this guy? He appears to be maybe a little lazy, doesn't he? At least that's the impression I got of him. It says he wasted the manager's possession. In other words, he wasn't doing a good job. And the idea of wasting being a manager, basically this is the guy that goes out and collects the debts that's owed to his manager. A steward, as some translations use it, which in business be sort of the accounts receivable part of the accounting office. And he's supposed to go out and get the goods and bring the money back in, and evidently he says he was wasting it. In other words, he just wasn't doing a good job. And then it says, what can he do? He says, what can I dig? I'm not strong enough to go out there and dig. This is one that my father used to always get us with. If we found anything else, you can always become a ditch digger. That was one that my father always would throw at. You can always go out and dig ditches. Well, evidently this guy couldn't go out and dig a ditch. He didn't want to beg. He had too good of an ego for that. So what could he do? And that's what Jesus gives us next, is what could he do? So summoning his master's debtors, One by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 100 measures of oil, he said. "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended this dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends of yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, you may receive into eternal dwellings." Now, what's Jesus saying? Notice there's two parts of this parable that don't seem to us to be right. First, this is a dishonest manager, and Jesus commends him. He commends somebody that's dishonest. Now, that doesn't strike us as, that shouldn't be that way, should it? And then the next part, he talks about the sons of this world and the sons of light. He says that the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. What are the sons of light? Wouldn't that be those that follow God and us as Christians would be the sons of light? And he's saying these guys over here in the world are more shrewd than the sons of light. See, those neither one of those two things kind of fit. So what do we do with this parable? How does Jesus apply it to us? Well, think about the manager. He loses his job. He's fired. He appears to be not a lot going for himself. But what does the first thing he do? He takes stock at what he does have. Sometimes when things happen to us in our lives and we think, you know, the world's coming to an end kind of thing, we need to sometimes take a step back and think about what do we have? And sometimes we don't do that. We just look at the bad instead of looking at the good. He took a step back into what does he still... Well, at the time, he was still manager. That it was going to be taken away, but it hadn't been taken away yet. So then he thought about, what can I do with that? And so he uses the one possession that he still has to his best interest. And that's what Jesus says. He was in that way. He used that which he had. And what did he have? He was still the manager, and he used it to his own benefit. And that's what, so how do we apply that to us? How does Jesus take it and apply it to what we have? What he's saying is we need to learn to use those things which we have while we have them. We don't always know the opportunities we're going to have and which one we're going to lose tomorrow and which ones we're going to have. But we need to take stock of what we do have and use it as best we can. That's what this man did. He used that which he had the best he could. We need to do the same thing with those things we've been blessed with the Lord. Notice how Jesus wraps up this section. He goes on to say, "One who is faithful in very little is faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is dishonest in much. If you then have been faithful with unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches?" Now, is that last sentence, take a quick look at that. Sometimes we don't want to put it that way. Jesus is here equating our physical, material blessings to our spiritual. And sometimes we like to keep those two things separate. We like to think, well, these are the things of the world over here, and I can keep it over here. And over here, these are the things of the church and God, and I'll keep those over here. Jesus says you can't do that. It's all together. How you use those blessings I've given you in the material, they affect what you have in the spiritual. You can't separate the two. And he does it the very little. Sometimes, well, this doesn't really, it's not important. You know, this is just a little thing over here. Jesus is really saying, there are no little things. You have a little opportunity here. You have a little blessing here. You ought to use all of those in my kingdom. You remember the parable of the talents we looked at a few weeks back? Here the master had given to a number of servants, each one some money. And then he goes away and he comes back and he asks you, "What did you do with that which I gave you?" And the one, he didn't waste it, he didn't spoil it, he just buried it. And he was condemned for not using what the master had given him. Jesus is here saying, I've given you all kinds of blessings. Even those little things that you sometimes just take for granted, you don't even think about. You're to use all of those. You're to be faithful in the little And if you're faithful in the little, then you'll be faithful in the much. That's what he goes on. If you've been faithful in that which is another's, in other words, what's been given to you, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or to be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot love God and money or God and the world. Here Jesus wants us to realize, who is your master? And we need to think about, who do we serve? I think that was brought out very good in the parable of the talents, that we're to serve. And those things we've been given aren't for ourselves. They're being used for other people. Paul uses that in Ephesians, the great blessings we've been given. Why have we been given those? For the benefit of the church, for the benefit of each other. The blessings that we have, we're to use as best we can for each other. We need to think about the blessings we have. And sometimes even those small things we take for granted, and we don't think it's very important, we need to remember we have been given blessings to use for the Lord. And he's really talking about here, not just our talents and abilities that go into it, but our money and how we use those. I'd like to end with two more passages. And these ones come from Proverbs and the other from Malachi from the Old Testament. And notice there's a special word. And I hope if you read through these, you'll see that word that comes out and you'll take a quick look at it. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. The first fruits is a word we've used before. Paul uses it in 1 Corinthians 15 to apply to Jesus Christ and the resurrection. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. In other words, he was the very first. But here, he uses it for what we give to God. First fruits has to do with a harvest. And it's the very beginning of the harvest. And it's the very best of the harvest. So he said, bring me the very beginning, the very best of what you have. And the special word I want you to see here, and you'll see it in Malachi 2, honor. You think about, how do we honor God? Do you think that's important, that we honor God? How do we honor God in our worship? The principal part of our worship, when we come together, I believe this is Lord's Supper. That's when we remember what Jesus has done for us, that our salvation came because he was willing to die for us. Do this in remembrance of me. I believe that's the point of our worship. And we've gone through a few weeks ago that singing is also a part, but we're filled with the Spirit and we worship God in spirit and in truth. But also a part of our worship is how we honor God. And when we meet together, we're to honor our Lord. And what the proverb brings out in Malachi, and we'll look at in just a minute, is we honor God with when we give to him. It's not like God needs our gifts. There's one of the Psalms that says, you know, all the cattle on all mountains, they're all mine to begin with. I don't need anything that you guys have. We give to God to honor him. And it's our part of worship where we can show God our respect and our thankfulness for the blessings he's given us. And so we honor God with the first fruits. We don't honor God with what's left over at the end. The first fruits mean that which we have at the beginning. And that means, you know, when most of us at one time when I worked, I had got a paycheck every month or every couple of weeks. And it wasn't like I went out and paid the bills and there was a little bit left over. I can give that to the church. We're supposed to take it off the top. The first fruits comes off the top. It's the very best. It means we can plan that. And it does sometimes take some planning. One of the ideas of being a Christian is the idea of self-discipline. The idea that we do have a planned life. We don't just live helter-skelter. We live disciplined lives under our Lord. And so we think about these things. Look at Malachi. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am your father, where is the honor due me? And if I am the master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord of hosts. O priest, you despise my name. You say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food on my altar. Now, if you read on down in Malachi, what they were doing was they were bringing sacrifices to God of animals that they didn't really want anymore. You know, this goat's got a broken leg. Let's sacrifice that. And that's what they were doing. He said, Is that any honor for me that you're bringing your leftover, your old animals that you want to get rid of anyway? And you think that's a great sacrifice to me? That's what God's saying. And he goes on to say, if you offer what you should, you don't think I will repay you even more than you can? And that's what he says, our blessings are how we honor God. He honors us. But the idea is that we give him the first fruits. We give him the best. We don't give him what's left over at the end. What we don't really have, we don't need this anymore. We can give that. That's not what it's about. It's about the first fruits, that which is best. We need to think about our responsibility to the Lord and our responsibility to use those blessings which God has given us. Whatever they are. Whatever the blessings God has given us, to keep those in our minds and to keep those always before us. This morning, in just a few minutes, we'll have our meeting where we'll talk about the budget for this year. Our budget for this year is very much like last year, with one addition. We've upped the amount that we're putting into missions, our foreign missions. We've sort of been a little bit low on that, and we've upped that this year. And hopefully in the future we can even up that even more, because we have been blessed as a people, and so we can share that. A while back we were able to share with the Bahamas doing their time of need when the hurricane hit the Bahamas. We need to be a people that can share when we're called upon. But sometimes that takes some discipline in our lives to plan for that. And so we need to be aware that the Lord has blessed us, and we need to be a blessing to others. And we need to think about those things. We need to think about living a life worthy of the calling which we've received. Because all of us have been blessed in some ways. And so think about that this week as we go through. And as you think about the way that you spend your money and you spend your time and your efforts, are you being responsible to the responsibilities you have in the Lord? This morning, think about these things and how we live our lives, that we can truly walk in a way worthy of our calling to the Lord. Because that's important. We're saved by grace. We're not saved because of the great things we've done. But we need to be aware of the things that we are able to do. The more that we can do these things, the more the Lord will bless us. And the other idea that remember as we go through this is that how we use those blessings we have, the material, even our money, affects our spiritual life. As Jesus says, you can't separate the two. We like sometimes to, but your life is a totalness before the Lord. And so you need to think about how I use all my resources affects my spiritual life as well. And so we're to live and walk worthy before the Lord. This morning, if you have need in any way to come or think about these things, won't you come as together we stand and sing.